Well, so good to be together in this way after a few weeks' pause. And let's gift ourselves this opportunity of practicing together. And since it's been a while, if you want to begin eyes open, just to soak in the faces of friends, to really feel the presence of each one of us here, showing up for ourselves, for this practice of living with a clear and compassionate heart, and showing up for each other after all this time, right? Ah. When you feel perhaps that warmth of connection, or you've sort of sipped your fill of the screen, you might let yourself begin to draw the awareness inward, maybe softening the gaze or closing the eyes. Savoring a few slightly deeper breaths or a sigh or two. Allowing the breath to be a portal to presence. This breath that's arising and passing right here. When we come home to the breath, it often brings us back into the body. This body that is sitting right here. Letting your awareness perhaps permeate through the body to feel the edges of the body, the feet or the lower body where they're in contact with the floor or the cushion. The tips of the fingers. Maybe a sense of the envelope of the skin where it's in contact with air or clothing. Letting your awareness fill the body in the same way that a breath fills the lungs. Touching back into the felt sense of sitting here together. Of inhabiting the Sangha body, the community. Feeling how this individual body and this collective body is resting on the earth body. Offering us a remembrance that we're living in this larger circle of belonging. This wider ecosystem of life. A social ecosystem in the environmental ecosystem. Helping to soften, perhaps even dissolve that sense of a separate self. Coming home to the breath. This most fundamental expression, this ever-present reminder of life moving through us. Feeling the coming and the going of each breath. Part of the ever changing river of experience that's flowing around us, within us. Phew. connecting with each breath as it arises, knowing it, sensing it, feeling it in the body. Relaxing into relationship with this breath. And letting it go as the river of breath continues. And the next breath arises to be known. And in a few moments, letting the sound of the bell be the next arising and passing in this river of changing experience. Allowing yourself to fully know, to sense, the sound, and to relax into the letting it go. So we've been slowly exploring this teaching on the five remembrances, which bring us into connection with different flavors, different expressions, experiences with that characteristic of impermanence. Right, the ever-changing, inconstant flow of life. You know, sometimes anicca is translated inconstancy instead of impermanence. Impermanence sometimes points to this sense of things come and go, and we know sometimes things don't go, you know, but they're always changing. There's always these fluctuations. And so it's that grabbing hold of wanting to cling to a sense of constancy, reliability, that's often the sense of suffering, whether it's, you know, in this body as it ages or gets sick or moves towards dying, you know, or the fourth remembrance that we worked with the week before I was gone, which was on loss. You know, the last one was everyone and everything I love is of the nature to change. There's no way to avoid being separated. You know, this, some of you may know this teaching from the Buddha. Sometimes this is quoted. He says, "Thus shall ye think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom and a dream." This is the river we're living in. Or Crowfoot says, "What is life? It is the flash of a firefly in the night. It is the breath of a buffalo in the winter time. It is the little shadow which runs across the grass and loses itself in the sunset." And so we just see, you know, this stream, this arising and passing and falling away and coming together and falling apart. It's not a mistake. It's life. It's life. On the scale of the individual body, on the scale of the earth body, and it's also not all about bad news or terror, right? Sometimes there's this fear to step into this territory. And, you know, in those two quotes with many of those examples, there's a tremendous amount of preciousness and beauty in there, right? Flash of a firefly, a lightning bolt in the sky, like there's a poignancy in the impermanence that when we open to it and open to it fully, it's not just a doorway into loss and fear. It's actually a doorway into life of like not missing, you know, as that William Blake quote, which I know I touch into often in different contexts in here, kiss the joy as it flies. You know, it's like the joy is there and the beauty is there, and the beauty of these teachings of the five remembrances, it's a powerful invitation into being fully alive. Don't miss it. Don't miss the magic, the mystery, the magnificence. Because often our fear, it's like we contract and we don't connect, right? So when we open to these teachings, it's with purpose. So in this context, you know, this stream of impermanence and constancy that we've been in for these four remembrances, we come to the fifth remembrance. You know, my actions are my only true belongings. There's no way to escape the consequences of my actions. They are the ground upon which I stand. So what's that all about? What's that all about? We can't stand on or lean on, you know, we can't stand on the river of change, right? Have you ever tried to stand on top of a river? It doesn't, you know, we can't lean on that waterfall of life experience like it's a solid wall. So if we can't do that, what is there? What is there? And we've also been exploring these five remembrances in the context of what they have to teach us about self or selfing, as we've looked at the self as a process, as a verb. And just to remind us of some of the key points that we've touched into or on in the last weeks, you know, the teaching, to remind us, the teaching is not self rather than no self. So the teaching is not that, you know, the self doesn't exist, you know, because you're like, well, who or what woke up and ate breakfast this morning? And, you know, something's here, isn't it? Listening to these words. So that's where we get really tangled and lost, I think, in this teaching about not self. The teaching is pointing to an invitation to come into a new relationship with, or a new awareness, a new understanding of self. You know, that self is part of the river, right? That's what we've been unpacking. the body that you were born in a compact package is not the body sitting in front of the Zoom screen right now, right? It's been part of the river of time and change, of inconstancy. That's part of what aging, illness, dying teaches us, and sitting with loss, you know, that self is not something that we put in a box or grab hold of. It's a process. Like, self is constantly also coming together and falling apart and rearranging itself. And the longer you're in a body, the more you relate to that falling apart concept, don't you? So it's like, yes, it's not about getting rid of the self. It's about coming into a more honest understanding that self is part of this river, part of this flow. And when we try to concretize, freeze frame self, you know, this is who I am. I. Me, this is me. Me, I'm the irritable one, or I'm the patient one, or I'm fill in the blank, or oh, this is mine, right? That's what that fourth remembrance. This is mine. My job, my relationship, my dream. And pop, when it's that bubble in the stream, right? Oh, nope, not there. So I, me, and mine is that source of suffering often. This is that characteristic, how these characteristics work together. When we try to reify self, or we try to lean on or stand on the river, we suffer. So all of these teachings are in the spirit of more peace, more ease, more freedom. So how does self and this last remembrance come together, right? My actions are my only true belongings. There's no way to escape the consequences of my actions. They are the ground upon which I stand. So in this context of a river of change, one way to look at this is that in this context, our actions, our lived experience, moment to moment, becomes a wise place to orient. You know, to potentially stand, oh, in this moment, what seeds am I planting here and now with this action? Am I practicing anger? Am I practicing impatience? Am I practicing care or kindness? So our actions kind of give birth to what comes next, don't they? You know, have you ever had that argument with your partner? It's like, ooh, that thing just came out of my mouth. And it's like, I'm going to reap the harvest of that comment. Am I not? And it might mean I'm having an hour-long reparative conversation with my partner to come back into right relationship, right? Like, that's, in many ways, you know, sometimes there's that word in Buddhism and also in common English, right? Karma. Like, ultimately, that's karma. It's like the harvest. We plant seeds and then they play themselves out. It's not some mysterious thing. It's our habits. It's our patterns. What have you been practicing? Oh, that's what you're going to see show up in your life. So this is where our actions become a wise place to stand. That's kind of the only thing that travels with us. And, you know, moment by moment, we have a chance to plant, to water, to fertilize new seeds or particular seeds. So not each and every action plays itself out to the end. We may change the soil composition and some of those things may die out by themselves, right? So a question that comes out of this remembrance might be, you know, What harvest are you planting right now in your life? There's no way to escape the consequences of your actions. So maybe I'll pause there and I'll gift you, if you like, just a little time in pairs, and you can play with this. Is there something that's alive for you from any of the remembrances, or in particular, this idea of wise action, wise action? So I'll create breakout rooms and enjoy each other, and we'll come back. Welcome back, friends. We'll just see if there's brief comment or two that wants to be shared before we close with a short poem. Okay, I'm going to share wisdom from the early Buddhist nuns again. This is a poem entitled Another Uttama. So Uttama is the name of the nun who wrote this. And this interpretation of this comes from the Terigata, the anthology of the writings of the early Buddhist nuns, and this translation comes from Matty Weingast, or interpretation. The entire path and all you will ever need to walk it, you will find inside. So the Buddha taught me. Once I took a closer look, all the running around started to seem a little silly. Things changed so quickly. By the time I got anywhere, I'd be someone else. You are your mother. You are your daughter. One moment gives birth to the next. What we do is who we become. My actions are my only true belongings. There's no way to escape the consequences of my actions. They are the ground upon which I stand. So, blessings, dear friends, on your week. I will look forward to hearing what you might discover as you practice with this, and we'll see where we go. There may be a little more to harvest from these five remembrances, kind of as a whole package. So maybe you can feel into what's still alive for you, and you know, you could share it in email or bring it next time. We'll kind of see where this leads us and trust the unfolding.